Once you have given that piece away and just as importantly gotten it back, please be seated. Just in case no one has said it to you yet this morning, good morning. I want to welcome you here to the First Congregational Church in Stockbridge. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, and that means this. It means that we are open to the Spirit moving through this place and through our lives. We are open to new ways of seeing, being, and knowing. We are open to our God who is still speaking, and we are open to each and every one of you. For through you, we get a glimpse of God in whose image you were made. Because of you, we as a body are more complete and full, and without you, we would be missing something. Here in this church, we affirm that each and every one of us are beloved children of God. Here, we affirm that we have done nothing to merit that love, but nonetheless are but a bit lower than angels. Here we affirm that God is not done with any of us yet, that each of us are love songs waiting to be sung. We affirm that each and every one of us are welcome here just as we are, because we know that here we encounter God, and as a result, we will never be the same. So whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, know that you are absolutely welcome here. I want to extend a special welcome to the Berkshire Choral Festival, who sang for us beautifully in the prelude and who will be singing for us a little later on. Yesterday they had a great and large concert of some 150 people, I believe, down in Sheffield. And today they are in various churches and we are lucky to have them here. Welcome. Thank you very, very much. I have a couple of announcements to make for the congregation. If anyone else has an announcement, I would ask you to come forward at this time so that you might be ready to make it when I am finished. First of all, please take out this green sheet of paper. We don't make it because it's pretty. We make it so that you can read things on it and so that you can take it home with you so that you will know what is happening in the life of this church. There are a couple things I want to bring to your attention. One, we are joining with three other churches. We are joining with a church in Housatonic, we are joining with a church in Monterey, and we are joining with a church in Tyringham this fall to do a four-church book read. We will be visiting each other's churches, we will be reading together, talking together, worshiping together, and getting to know each other. It doesn't start till September, but this is plenty of time to get ready. One other thing I definitely want to let you know about is that tomorrow morning, at about 5 o'clock in the morning, John and I are going to be starting up the car. We are going to be heading south, and we are going to be going on vacation, and we couldn't be happier. We will miss you greatly, and you know that's true. I bring that up to you not just to know why you might not see me around, but also to notice on this page, there is some contact information for you. Janet McKinstry will be providing emergency pastoral care. Her number is listed here. If there is a pastoral emergency, please call her and she will respond. If not, if it's a pastoral need, a visitation or something else, we have a group of deacons lined up and ready to go. Please give Nancy a call in the office and she will organize that. I'm leaving you for worship in good hands. The Reverend Carrie Bale will be here while I'm on vacation. Some of you may know that name. She served for 12 years. up at the First Congregational Church in Williamstown. So she will be here both next week and the week after that. While John and I are gone, you are in good hands indeed. Cindy, I see that you have an announcement this morning.
On several Thursday nights this summer, we're having a pizza and movie night series. And this past Thursday, we watched Godspell. And this coming Thursday, we're watching part one of Jesus of Nazareth, which we'll watch in three parts on three different Thursday nights. So that's this Thursday at 6:30. And if you are going to come, please sign up. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex and also in the Jonathan Edwards room on the library table. Thanks.
One other announcement that Lois Rose asked me to make, and that you will notice on the back of this sheet. Vacation Bible School is coming. We are working with St. Paul's together to do that. It will be held down at St. Paul's, down in downtown Stockbridge. It starts next week, so if you have children who are interested in going, please pay attention there. Friends, there never has been a moment quite like this one, nor will there ever be again. It is a time made for worshiping God. So let's get to that. Jeremy, if I could ask you to come forward at this point.
We ground ourselves in worship, in prayer. We come before God in prayer, bringing all that we are and all the joys and all the burdens of our heart to God. This morning, I have two concerns to bring forward to you. You will notice on our table here, we have two lilies that are placed up in here. They're in memory of two dear sisters that we lost in the last couple of days. Mia's family is here. Mia passed away on Friday evening around 6:30, 7 o'clock. The family got together, we prayed, we sang, they sang, we prayed. And we will be working on a memorial service to be held for Mia later here in August. We are putting those details together. We will make sure that you know that. This morning, we got word just a few minutes ago that Pam Torres also passed away this morning at about 10 a.m. What I hear and understand from the family is that she was at peace when she passed away. I have not yet had a chance, as it literally happened at about 9:30 this morning, to make my way over. Her family has been by her side. They have been with her every step of the way. In both cases, it has been beautiful and full of grace. This morning, as we come into our time of prayer, this is Jeremy. Jeremy is Mia's son. As a way of coming into and out of our prayer this morning, we're going to sing a hymn that Mia absolutely loved. We want to take out the hymnals for this one. It's not on the sheet. It is number 339, Be Thou My Vision. Here's what we're going to do. Jeremy will play it through once on the cello so you can hear it in all of its beauty. We will then sing verse 1 together as a way of entering into a time of prayer. I will offer a time of prayer. Leave your hymnals open. You will come out of our prayer by singing verse 3. So friends, let's enter into a time of prayer with these amazing words and with our sisters Pam and Mia foremost.
God of birth and of rebirth, God of cool breezes and new mornings, God of heart-wrenching sorrow and body-bending laughter, God of all there was, all there is, and all there might yet be. We gather here this morning grateful for your presence and thankful that you have called us together to be one body here in this time and in this place. We give you thanks, God, that you have sent your Spirit to dwell deeply among us, to nourish us, to give us hope, to give us courage and fortitude to face the days that are ahead of us. This morning, God, through tear-filled eyes and heavy hearts, we praise you for the gift of Mita Yukina. We give you thanks for your creative genius that gave her strong spirit and sharp wit. We give you thanks for her unbending determination and her generous love. We give you thanks for her great gift of music, but even more for her great heart and amazing smile. God, this morning we also remember the great gift of Pam Torres. We give you thanks for her spirit in the face of adversity. We give you thanks that despite everything life threw at her, she smiled and she laughed and she always had a comeback to whatever you said. God, we give you thanks that you gave her the gift of so many friends and family who have been by her side day and night. God, we ask you this morning that you open your arms wide. Open them so wide, God, because there are two great angels coming your way this morning. God, we ask you here this morning to pour out your love in waterfalls of tenderness that we might heal, that we might even laugh, that we might remember, and most of all, that we might trust. Well done, Mita, thy good and faithful servant. Well done, Pam, thy good and faithful servant. You have run the races set before you. Now may you find rest, along with the beloved family that has gone before you, in God's gentle mercies. God, this morning, we give you thanks for your love. Even as we remember that we are part of a larger world, God, we ask you to be with those fighting fires in California and fighting injustice in Syria. We lift up all those who are protesting, and we even lift up those who are protested against. God, we lift up to you this morning those who cannot find work and those overwhelmed with the work they have. We lift up those who are broken in spirit, body, or mind, those who face addictions, disease, or discomfort. God, all we ask is that you simply be with them, that you send your love down among them. God, we come before you this morning seeking you and the gift of your grace. Now, in the moments of silence that follow, hear the prayers that are on our hearts and minds, prayers that may not even have words, prayers we offer to you now in the silence of our lives. For these and many more prayers, we trust in you, the font of our every blessing. We pray them to you through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and now we break our silence, singing together the third verse of Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke, the 10th chapter. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is a need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." May God add a blessing of hearing and understanding to these words.
Sisters and brothers, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Friends, from the bottom of my heart, from the deep places of my heart, I give thanks that we here at the First Congregational Church are a church of Marthas. Amen? We are. We are a people running around, attending to the details. We are people trying to make sure that this is a place of welcome, that ours is a church of justice, of beauty, and of grace. I give thanks for all of you Marthas out there. Now, they say that the first step towards healing is always admitting who you are. And so I'm going to ask you here, go ahead. If you are even a bit or a whole lot a Martha, would you raise your hand? Amen. Me too. Did you know that in the last 2 weeks alone, that there have been more than 60 different Marthas coming to the meetings of our boards and committees here at this church? They've been sitting around tables doing the work of this church, the planning, the plotting, the dreaming, and the scheming. From Women's Service League to Christian Education, from deacons to Mission and Action, from growth and fellowship to trustees, our Marthas have been hard at work. Worship, the center of our life together, could not happen without the approximately 30 Marthas running around this place each and every Sunday morning. Now, we have a slightly smaller choir this morning, but during the fall and the spring, there will be about 20 people getting here early, warming up and practicing. And if you've ever been to one of their rehearsals, they are busy. Every second counts. There are as many as 4 deacons cutting bread and pouring juice for this feast, putting visitor cards out there in the pews and oil in these candles, placing bulletins out and getting their hearts ready to lead. There are greeters out there on the front steps, putting their smiles on, getting ready to welcome people in. There are 3 or 4 people back in the kitchen there getting ready for the feast that follows worship, cutting bread into slices and cheese into squares. There is Jody in the nursery, making sure all is set for the bundles of joy that come her way. Sunday school teachers are prepping the classrooms. Someone is bringing in flowers, and someone is always checking to make sure this thing works. And then, truth be told, because John would tell you if I didn't, there is me. I'm the biggest Martha there is on a Sunday morning. Heaven only knows the things that I am doing to get ready for this worship to start. I give thanks to God for all of the Marthas in this place. It makes my heart sing. And despite what you might have think you just heard Glenn read, Jesus gives thanks for all the Marthas in this place too. He gives thanks even though if he thinks that there's something that she and we need to hear to keep us from being distracted, to keep us from getting worn out, to keep us from getting cranky like our good sister Martha. Do you remember in the story, Jesus looks up at Martha. Can't you just see his face brimming with a smile? Can't you just sense that his heart is overflowing with compassion? Jesus looks up at Martha with her frazzled hair, with her frantic visage, and her worn down and probably stressed out eyes, and says this, "Martha, Martha, I love you. You are such a great gift. And you are worried and distracted by so many things. You need to know there is only one thing." In this church of Marthas, with Martha as your pastor, I hope our ears are perking up right about now. Now, don't think, though, for even a moment that Jesus, the center of this story, or Luke, the one who put it in writing, doesn't love and value good work and significant preparation. They do. If you remember even back to our text just a couple of weeks ago, Jesus sent out 70 disciples before him. He sent out 70 Marthas to prepare and plan and attend to the details of his arrival. Remember, the harvest is plentiful, and Jesus knows there's work to be done. Luke, who wrote this gospel? If you remember, Luke followed up this gospel with a book called Acts. A book whose very name implies the need for work. A whole book about those who followed Jesus, and trust me, they worked hard. A book filled with ordinary people like you and I doing extraordinary, miraculous thing. There is no question that work is an essential part of our role as disciples. But both Jesus and Luke are telling us something we dare not forget, and that is what is the reason, source, substance, and sustenance of our work: the God we serve. Friends, no matter what you've heard, this passage is not Mary versus Martha. This story is not action versus contemplation. It is not anything versus anything. It is a reminder of what has to come first, what must ground all we do and all we say. Jesus looks up at that frazzled Martha and says, "The better thing sometimes is to sit at my feet." He says, "The better thing is to sit there learning, praying, and remembering why we do all that we do." Because, friends, the moment that all our busyness stops being grounded in God, that busyness becomes work. It becomes draining rather than life-giving. The moment that our programs become about something other than responding to God's call on our lives, those programs, they become work, and they risk serving our own needs, inadequacies, and fears, rather than serving our God of abundance and our neighbors and sisters and brothers in need. Friends, when we see the meetings that we go to merely as work, when we forget to pray our way into and out of them, when we get all tied up in our own agendas, it is easy to forget whose work we are actually doing. When that happens, the hours that we spend in those meetings, they end up feeling like work. And we leave like Martha, tired, weary, overwhelmed, and cranky. We leave wondering if we can really make this thing called church work, rather than leaving in absolute wonder at the God we serve. We leave obsessing about all we have to do rather than remembering that it never, ever really is about us. Sometimes the better part is to sit together at the feet of Jesus, learning and listening, because then everything we do, yes, even budgets, newsletters, and minutes, resound with good news and drip with God's love. There is a new initiative the deacons are undertaking, something that should help something we already do quite well here, one they hope will tap into all of your inner Marthas out there. It's an initiative to care for one another in the good times and the tough ones too, one that the deacons have decided to call Hearts and Hands. a program that will reach out with cards and food in both good times and bad, one that will offer rides to those who desperately want to be here in this gathering on Sunday mornings but can't. In the August newsletter, you're going to read all about that chance to satisfy your innermost Martha, to cook to your heart's content, to write cards until your ink runs dry, and to offer rides to church until your tank runs dry. But before any of you sign the dotted line to get busy making casseroles and cookies, we need to remember this passage. Before we engage our hands in service to God and one another, we need to engage our hearts sitting at the feet of Jesus. It is what will keep this ministry from becoming just one more thing we do. If this ministry is to work, we need to first sit at the feet of Jesus. And if this ministry is actually to serve the people we love, we also need to sit with Jesus at the feet of one another. Here in this growing church, we need to sit together, getting to know each other, hearing other stories and offering our own, because care is always better received in the midst of relationship. And sometimes you only get to relationship when you slow down and sit, when you stop doing and simply be with a person or with their family. Offering compassion, presence, and solidarity, which they themselves are gifts of God. Sometimes all you can do is hold their hand, sing a song, listen to them, even and especially when they're not making any sense. Hear their hopes, acknowledge their fears, learning from their wisdom, and most importantly, seeing the image of God in their eyes, especially in their struggles. Such moments like that, they break down barriers, trust opens, and we can actually be servants to one another. One of the things I most love about this church is our covenant. Those of you who have taken the covenant and have joined this church know that within that covenant is this phrase: we promise that we will serve one another. And then the tougher line: we promise that we will allow ourselves to be served by one another. There is no question which of those things is harder to do. Recently, a family told me, with a painted-on smile on their face, "Thanks, but no thanks," when I told them that this congregation would love to cook and bake for them, that we would love to feed them and care for them in the midst of their tough time. I could see it in their eyes that the need was clearly there, but their lips said, "It's okay. We're tough. We can handle it." The family had not yet met people from this church. The family didn't know me either. But here's what happened. I came in. I sat at the foot of her bed, just sitting with her and with them, being with her, listening to her stories, being honest with them about the situation, sharing their hopes and fear, sharing love and anger. And then at the end, one of them looked up at me and said this: "You know what? We could use a hand. We really could use that food." And then the food from this congregation started flowing. And every time I go over there, they have not yet stopped talking about how grateful they are. And you know what? In the midst of this process, which could be draining, I have felt fed too. By sitting at the feet of Jesus and at the foot of her bed, I have stayed focused on God and her. Sisters and brothers, I do really give thanks for this amazing church of Marthas. But today, we need to listen to Jesus. We need to slow down and do the better thing. As Marthas, we need to sit alongside Mary at the feet of Jesus. We need to take a moment and gather around this very table to restore our focus, to ground ourselves, to feed our souls, and remind ourselves of who we are and to whom we belong.